The Lord be with you.
If
you'd like to be seated. I'd like to say good morning and a very warm welcome to everyone to our service of morning prayer today. Welcome to those who are joining us online, wherever you are tuning in this morning. We're delighted to have you with us as we worship together on this second Sunday before Lent. On your way into church this morning, hopefully you'll have seen the notices on the screen as you came in. This is half-term week, so there are a number of our activities that normally happen that won't be happening this coming week. So tomorrow the toddlers won't be meeting, the BB won't be meeting, and on Tuesday the Anchor Boys won't be meeting. But the rest of our regular weekly activities are happening as normal. And also just to remind people that this is the time of year when we invite people who haven't registered to be members in any other church. If you'd like to be registered as a member here, there are forms that will invite you to do that, and the church wardens have them at the back of the church. So if you'd like to be registered as a member here, do speak to one of the wardens and they will give you the appropriate form, and you'll be very welcome to sign up as a member here. Also wanted to give advance notice that on Sunday the 26th of February, that's in 2 weeks' time, we hope to be hosting a special soup lunch to mark the beginning of Lent. And also on that Sunday, we're going to be taking a voluntary collection to support the relief efforts following the horrific earthquakes in Syria and Turkey. And to that end, there are some Bishop's Appeal envelopes in the pews this morning. If people wish to take them away and make a contribution, your contribution can be worth 25% more if you're a UK taxpayer at no extra cost to yourself. So it's well worth doing if you are a UK taxpayer and you'd like to contribute through the Bishop's Appeal to the relief efforts ongoing in Syria and Turkey. I'm going to hand over to Andy at this point, who is going to just highlight a school project that we are involved in one of the local schools.
Good morning. Lisnashara Primary School are putting together an outdoor classroom. That's basically an outdoor learning area, and it will most likely involve some outdoor tables, some plants, and this might be quite ambitious for us, but a path. And what I'm picturing in my head is a work party. Once a month we have a work party here where people get together and we do some tidying up, we do bits and pieces that need done, or other folks do. I have been once. Anyway, I didn't mean this to be a confessional. Lisnashara Primary School is a school that we're developing good relationships with. And I was wondering if maybe we could put together a small party to do maybe light gardening or heavier work, depending on people's abilities. And so if you're interested in that, I wonder if you could let me know, text me or speak to me. And what I would do is give your details to the acting principal, and that would be someone who could liaise and organize times with you. And that would make safeguarding a bit more straightforward as well. So if you're interested in that, let me know, and maybe that's something we can take forward and help the school with. We begin our worship this morning by singing together hymn number 6, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise.
Thank you.
Our service this morning is morning prayer. Beloved in Christ, we come together to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past and grant that we may serve you in newness of life. To the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness and keep you in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let's stand and read together our Psalm 131. O Lord, O Lord, my heart is not proud. My eyes are not raised in haughty looks. I do not occupy myself with great matters, with things that are too high for me. But I have quieted and stilled my soul. O Israel, trust in the Lord from this time forth forevermore. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever.
Amen.
Our Old Testament reading is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 49. Beginning to read at verse 8. This is what the Lord says: In the time of my favor I will answer you, and in the day of salvation I will help you. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people, to restore the land and to reassign its desolate inheritances, to say to the captives, Come out. And to those in darkness, be free. They will feed beside the roads and find pasture on every barren hill. They will neither hunger nor thirst, nor will the desert heat or the sun beat upon them. He who has compassion on them will guide them and lead them beside springs of water. I will turn all my mountains into roads, and my highways will be raised up. See, they will come from afar, some from the north, some from the west, some from the region of Aswan. Shout for joy, O heavens, rejoice, O earth, burst into song, O mountains, for the Lord comforts his people and will have compassion on his afflicted ones. But Zion said, The Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We're going to stand and sing together now, and as we do so, we'll ask the children, young people, and Sunday school leaders to make their way through to the hall. We'll sing hymn number 4, God Who Made the Earth.
Our New Testament reading is from the Gospel according to St. Matthew in the 6th chapter, beginning to read at the 25th verse. Jesus said, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat?' or 'What shall we drink?' or 'What shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." This is the word of the Lord.
We're going to think further on Jesus' beautiful words there as we stand and sing together number 596, "Seek Ye First."
Thank you.
We respond now to everything we've heard and everything we've sung by sharing together the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. A collect for today, the second Sunday before Lent. Almighty God, you have created the heavens and the earth and made us in your own image. Teach us to discern your hand in all your works and your likeness in all your children. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit reigns supreme over all things, now and forever. Amen. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and ever-living God, we give you thanks for bringing us safely to this day. Keep us from falling into sin or running into danger, and in all things guide us to know and to do your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, in whom we live and move and have our being, we humbly pray that your Holy Spirit may so guide and govern us that in all the cares and occupations of our daily life, we may never forget your presence, but may remember that we are always walking in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let's stand and worship together, singing from Thanks and Praise 134, Speak, O Lord.
Thank you.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Have you ever found yourself adapting habits that kind of slipped in unnoticed and now have just become a part of your life? I think it was at the height of the global pandemic back around 2020 that I stopped watching television news. And perhaps at the time I just found it all a bit overwhelming or frightening. But I began to withdraw from the televised news bulletins. At the time, they were usually full of information about the number of deaths in any given day. And there were government scientific advisors and epidemiologists who would stand up and speak about their best guess as to how this would all play out. And it became to me a bit like an overload of sensory exposure to suffering, and I decided to step back. I still kept in touch with what was going on via the radio and the internet, but the headlines and the general picture was enough, and I didn't really want to see all the detail. And it felt a little bit like that again this week, as news broke on Monday of the devastating earthquakes that struck in Turkey and Syria. And the loss of life continued to rise with every snippet I heard. It started with thousands and moved very quickly to tens of thousands. And the World Health Organization estimates that more than 23 million people in Turkey and Syria will suffer some form of consequences from these terrible events. And although I don't want to upset or traumatize people by talking about these things, we can't just gather to worship God this morning as if nothing has happened in our world earlier this week. And I have found some important truths in today's gospel reading that I wanted to share, not as easy answers, but as anchors for our soul at a time when faith gets shaken. And the first truth that comes through very powerfully in these verses from Matthew chapter 6 is that life is important. And as Jesus speaks in that passage about possessions and priorities and riches, he asks the question, is not life more important than food and the body more important than clothes? And whenever we look at the rescue effort and the endeavors of people to dig through the rubble to search for loved ones, and the celebrations that accompany the rescue of any individuals from underneath the collapsed buildings. Surely this is true. Life is important, and we shouldn't take it for granted. And that's what's prompting people right now to drive convoys of aid into a part of the world where there are civil wars raging, and on the surface, it will take miracles for that aid to get through. But we do look to the God of miracles, and we pray for those convoys and for that rescue equipment to get through to where it's desperately needed. Life is important. The second thing that I take from these verses in our gospel reading this morning is that you and I matter to God. And as Jesus speaks of the love of the Father and his care for the birds of the air, he asks the question, are you not much more valuable than they? And it can feel hard to hold on to that basic fundamental truth in the face of tragedy, that God loves us. And yet it is fundamental to everything. It's what drives organizations like the Disasters Emergency Committee to launch international appeals. It spurs on relief agencies from all faiths and none to come together for our shared humanity to do what we can to help the rescue effort with our resources. And to that end, as I said earlier, we will be donating the proceeds from our Lenten lunch on Sunday the 26th to the relief effort that's being channeled through the Bishop's Appeal. And as I mentioned, for those who are UK taxpayers, those contributions can be gift-aided using those envelopes and go considerably further at no extra cost to yourself. You matter to God, and I matter to God. And so too do the peoples of Syria and Turkey, and they may feel abandoned and broken by their present experience. But the Lord speaks clearly throughout the scriptures of how he will never leave us and walk through the very worst of experiences with us. The third thing that I take from these verses this morning has to do with trust in God's ways, as we are invited to seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. And again, we might have all sorts of intellectual arguments against that idea right now. We might, within our hearts, want to blame God for all that has happened. And it's important to express these things, even if we don't feel too comfortable doing that. But God's arms outstretched on a cross are big enough to take our anger and our questions. But we also need to question our anger rather than wallow in it. And it is humbling at this time to hear about churches and mosques and faith communities coping with their own traumas and damaged buildings and personal bereavements, and seeking to do exactly this. They want to respond in a godly way and to do what they can to make a difference for good, to come together and to be a fragile sign of hope and love in a most broken situation. And the last principle that I take from this passage this morning is not to look too far ahead. Jesus was wise in his statement that each day has trouble enough of its own. And we might be thinking about the immense job that lies ahead of rebuilding. And we might be thinking about trauma care and counseling, and yes, all of those things will be vitally necessary. But what is more pressing is what's needed today. And I believe that is where our prayers come in. In the awfulness of these terrible events, it's been heartening to be able to gather to pray together. We prayed on Wednesday morning at communion. We prayed on Thursday afternoon at the service in St. Finian's House. We prayed at our parish prayers on Thursday night over Zoom. And that might seem small and insignificant, but in effect, prayer is the one concrete thing that we can do, both individually and as a community. And if you would
like to pray, please remember the people, first and foremost, who've been directly impacted by these terrible events. All those families who've lost loved ones in a most unexpected and traumatic way. Pray too for the people who've lost homes and businesses and everything they possess and are currently dealing with freezing temperatures with nowhere to go. Pray for the first responders, the government and the rescue teams and the NGOs and all those relief agencies and charities trying to get aid to where it's most needed. Pray for their emotional and physical strength, and for a wise and collective response, both within Turkey and Syria, but also from the international community. Pray too for pastors and for imams coping with their own trauma, but trying to help to organize funerals and support people who've been affected by these events. And so let's take a moment now just to pray. Lord God, we thank you for the gift of prayer to your people and to your church. And we thank you that whenever our hearts and minds are overwhelmed, you understand our sighs and our groans and our tears. And thank you that even when we don't hold on to you, you hold on to us. So we pray that you would help all today who feel that you are absent, that you have somehow left them, to know a fresh revelation and experience of your presence. Help us to constantly turn to you in our joys and in our sorrows and our confusion, and may we know your help. Lord, in your mercy. And we pray this morning for all those people that we've been thinking of affected by these earthquakes. We pray for those plunged into grief and for all assisting with the rescue operation. And we ask at this time that they would be directed to anyone that can still be saved. We also pray for all who are waiting for news in their anguish and despair. And we pray for those who have the responsibility of directing the rescue operations, making decisions about where to send equipment, trying to organize shelter for the most vulnerable. And we pray for all offering food and medical assistance and prayers and emotional support. Fill them, we pray, with your supernatural strength and wisdom and compassion in these very difficult days. Lord, in your mercy. And we pray this morning for the civil war in Syria to somehow be put to one side in order to allow aid convoys to reach desperate people. We ask that influential people would have their hearts softened in order to make this possible. And we pray for safety for drivers of these convoys and all the staff teams that accompany aid, asking that they would reach safely communities in desperate need. We pray too for the international community to release emergency funds and practical assistance as quickly as possible and to cooperate well in their collective response. Lord, in your mercy. And we finally take a quiet moment to pray for any who are particularly in our thoughts and on our minds as we come to church today. We remember our politicians at an intense time of industrial action and big decisions which need to be made. Lord, in your mercy. And we join all our prayers together in the prayer our Saviour Christ taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our next hymn continues these thoughts and ideas and the truths about our safety in God's hands. And as we stand and sing this, let's sing it for ourselves. But I don't think it's a stretch to say let's sing it for and on behalf of those who are in need of rescue and safety today. Let's stand and sing together hymn number 595, Safe in the Shadow of the Lord.
Thank you.
We bring our service to a close with a blessing prayer. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be with you and those whom you love and pray for, now and evermore. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is 537, O God, our help in ages past.